You are listening to the Winning Edge podcast, where each week we have a conversation with a different member of the Winning Edge Business Networking Chapter located in Spring Hill, Florida.
Welcome to this episode of the Winning Edge podcast. I am your host, Chris Chambers, and today I have the privilege of having a conversation with Mr. Dan Ernest. Welcome, Dan.
Thank you for having me here. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. And your company is Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation. Is that correct?
Absolutely. We have a local branch right here in Trinity.
Okay. And so what we want to do is talk about you a little bit, talk about, you know, personally, and then talk about your business a little bit, talk about your interaction with BNI over the years, how that's helped your business, how that's helped you personally, how you've been able to help others through that the BNI as well. And then ultimately, we'll do a little back to the basics segment. We're going to talk about building relationships and how BNI really has helped facilitate that and continues to do so. And then obviously, we'll talk about how we can get some folks to you, refer folks to you, how you can help folks. And then we'll end with rapid fire section, which is ask you a few questions. Okay.
Sounds great.
All right. So as always, who is Dan Ernest?
Who is Dan Ernest is a question I'm still asking myself.
Fair enough.
All right. I'm a happily married man, a father of four wonderful children. And I'm just grateful to be a child of God and a person who's been entrusted to be a father to these children. Past that, really, I'm just a professional trying to do the right thing.
And you actually have a pretty exciting time coming up for your family next month. Is that right?
Yes, I do. My oldest daughter is getting married. And honestly, it's a prayed for son-in-law. So it's something I'm truly blessed to have and grateful for that opportunity to see my daughter happily married.
Yeah, for sure. And so you mentioned four children. Mm-hmm. And your youngest is?
My youngest is now 16.
Okay. All right. So 16 and up.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. 21, 19, about to be 20, 17, and a 16.
So a couple of them in high school?
Two are still in high school. Okay. One's pre-med over at USF.
All right. And you work with your wife? Your wife works with you? Is that right?
Yes. We can call her my boss or me her boss.
Either
however
way.
You want to do it. I just love working with her.
Right. For sure. I just recently, or here soon, my wife and I are going to have an opportunity to do that as well, be working together. So I've heard a lot of good stories about that, and I've heard some that didn't turn out all that well. But in your experience, it's been great.
Wonderful. Yeah. It's one of the things that any strong marriage can actually survive. The key is to make sure you have the boundaries to where you leave the work at work, and you both have good goals. My wife has the ability to fire me, and I have the ability to fire her if work ever interferes with our marriage, because the marriage is number one.
Number one. Yeah, that's great. That's good advice, man, for sure. Now, what are some activities, hobbies, things like that that you like to engage in, aside from a BNI, aside from work? What are some things you enjoy doing?
One of the things I really enjoy is I actually enjoy going to church with my kids. I enjoy serving in various aspects of church to help those that I care about, both inside my family and out. And then every once in a while, I have the privilege of going golfing.
Okay. So you're pretty good. You like a scratch golfer?
No. more like the military golf, left, right, left, right.
Okay. All right. And then... Are you involved in any charitable organizations, charities, nonprofit organizations, or anything?
Habitat of Humanity of West Pasco is one that I have a privilege to be a part of, and grateful for the great work they do. There's a few other minor ones that I do serve on, but
okay.
They'll remain nameless right now.
Okay. Fair enough. All right, so let's talk about Fairway. How long have you been involved with Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation?
I've actually been with Fairway itself since June of 2017.
Okay.
So a little over 6 to 8 months at this point.
Okay. Now, but you have a much longer track record or experience with mortgages, is that right, beyond June of last year?
Absolutely. I started in finance in 96. Mm-hmm. Specifically in mortgage, early 2000s, and had the privilege to close quite a few loans for wonderful people that I've had the privilege of being a part of those transactions.
So what is it that that Fairway, how did you get involved with Fairway, first of all? And then tell us a little bit about how you, through Fairway, are able to help folks out.
Mm-hmm. Well, as with most professionals, you get trained at various different corporations and find out strengths and weaknesses of each. What's a good fit for you and a good fit for them. And I was recruited over to Fairway.
Okay.
It's an independent mortgage company that offers a lot of opportunity for me as a branch manager, but also for me to hire good loan officers and to help a lot of good people buy homes. The recruiting opportunity came up at the right time, and that's really when I understood that one of the slogans that we have is we serve people. Mm-hmm. And when that's one of your core values is serving people and doing what's right, is something I connect with, and I truly hope this to be my forever home.
Right.
In this career.
Sure. And what is it that that you're able to do specifically? So how is it that you help individuals? You mentioned loans. You mentioned mortgages. What all does that look like?
Well, there's various products that we have access through. The government programs can include USDA, VA, FHA. Those are commonly used. Those aren't unique to Fairway. Mm-hmm. What is unique a little bit on Fairway is we don't have a lot of credit overlays like a lot of the big banks do or a lot of other lenders do. We have the flexibility to actually service the loan ourselves or sell it directly to the various parties. Actually, we had the privilege of last year being the number one USDA lender throughout the nation. And I believe it was number three on FHA in reference to units closed. One of the things that distinctions for us is we understand a lot of good people can have bad things happen on their credit history. Mm-hmm. And with little steps, we have some little more broad opportunities for those individuals that might not have great credit.
So talk about that a little bit, because in our one of our BNI meetings a few weeks ago, you were actually talking specifically about that, how you have personally helped individuals and through Fairway helped individuals get to a point where maybe they don't qualify today, but you can get them to a point in a few weeks or a few months where they potentially can qualify. So what is it that you do that is really distinct, different from a lot of other mortgage companies?
One of the steps that I do is I try to help educate individuals on how they affect your credit score. And what that means and why, how it's composed. And with some additional tools, I can give good advice on individuals who may be below a 580 credit score. Mm-hmm. With some minor steps and corrections to the credit report, getting off the items that aren't accurate, increase steps that they can do to improve their family situation, mm-hmm. so they can actually improve their credit to where maybe in a couple weeks to a couple months, they can actually have their credit score higher. The most important thing that somebody can have is actually a true plan on how to move forward.
Yeah, and you were actually giving some statistics as to mm-hmm. how much you can actually impact, affect your credit score in a fairly short period of time. Can you kind of talk about that?
Each credit report is a little bit unique.
Okay.
And so I can't say necessarily
specifically
all individuals will benefit as much as other individuals. I have seen within the last year an individual who was in the high 500s in June and July, and in December they had taken the steps that we had suggested they take, mm-hmm. and by doing so they were in the low 700 credit scores in around just under 6 months.
Wow.
That was a unique situation because they followed all the steps and they had some inaccuracies. Mm-hmm. There's other individuals that have taken steps that may only see a 20 or 30 point increase in their credit score. Mm-hmm. The key is knowing how to balance your credit appropriately, make sure your credit items are paid on time, mm-hmm. and little steps that are unique to each credit.
But if somebody doesn't currently qualify, well, actually the question I was going to ask is if an individual comes to you and they don't qualify currently for that, what you'll do, which is, again, distinct from other companies or corporation mortgage companies, is you'll actually help them, if you can, improve that. Now, I'm assuming that the majority of individuals in your situation, in your line of work, understands this process, but I would imagine the majority of folks that come to you don't. Would that be accurate or not?
Yeah, I think society as a whole, and many of the clients that come to us don't know necessarily what their credit score is or where mm-hmm. it's at.
Even where to find it.
Or where to find an mm-hmm. accurate credit report.
Mm-hmm.
Credit score.
Because yeah.
There's aspects that go into your credit score. They can find their credit report, but not their credit score, and what
okay.
steps to take. Not knowing what to do to improve not just their credit, but their financial situation.
Mm-hmm.
The key here is not just to help them qualify for the home, but to help them to be able to stay in the home once they buy it. So teaching them the correct behaviors on how to fix their credit,
mm-hmm.
put a budget in place, and different aspects that can help their financial well-being, not just short-term, but long-term,
mm-hmm.
truly helps individuals not to just be home buyers, but to actually be homeowners mm-hmm. and be able to actually sleep at night and right. be able to actually live in their home and enjoy it.
Right. Now, just one more question mm-hmm. about the credit score, and we'll move forward a little bit. But I've heard in the past that there is quote unquote good debt and quote unquote bad debt. So some debt is not necessarily going to hurt your credit score. Some debt obviously will hurt it a great deal. Is that a true statement or is that a false statement? Or
yes.
is it depends.
Both are accurate. Okay. There's times you can have credit card debt that's good debt. You can have credit card debt that's bad debt. You can okay. have car loans that are good and car loans that are bad. Mm-hmm. It's the balancing of those credits. Collections aren't good for your credit score. Mm-hmm. Not paying on time is bad for your credit score. Mm-hmm. A late payment on a revolving credit card this month typically affects your credit score more than a collection from over a year ago. Mm-hmm. So little things like that can make a difference. And the reason is current late payment is a credit indicator of current credit behavior, mm-hmm. and therefore it will have a larger impact on your credit score.
Right.
Taking the steps to make sure an individual understands what their credit is and why can make a big difference. And, you know, a lot of people were affected by Hurricane Irma. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people had deferments on their loans. Well, that won't impact their credit scores if they took the steps to make sure their agencies reported to the credit report that it was deferred and not late.
Right.
Those who didn't would have to take steps to correct that on their credit report.
Down the road. Now, if somebody's listening and has some questions regarding their personal credit report, score, is there somewhere you would point them to, a website or a company or call somebody who they could immediately get some maybe insight or some help there?
Really, the first step is to actually get a copy of your credit report directly okay. from one of the three credit bureaus.
Okay.
Look at it. Find out, is it accurate? Mm-hmm. Are there accounts that you don't recognize? Obviously, with some Equifax breaches of security, you need to make sure somebody else doesn't have your credit score, your mm-hmm. Social Security number, your date of birth, different things that somebody could use to establish accounts that aren't yours that yeah. are now showing on your credit report.
Yeah.
Outside of that, there are other sources, but it doesn't always benefit you to call without having a goal in mind. The first step is to get a copy of your credit report yourself. It gives you the ability to look at your credit report. Does not count as a credit inquiry, mm-hmm. which means it doesn't affect your credit score. Therefore, you can get sound advice based on accurate information. And many times you'll find a lot of errors. Very simple errors to fix mm-hmm. by getting a copy of a credit report.
I can't tell you how often, and it's surprising to me when I do find it, when I'm talking to one of my clients, we're going over their earnings record with the IRS, and I say, hey, you know, you worked at such and such year, you worked at this particular location. I said, I've never lived there, I've never worked there, no idea what that is. And it's some, you know, sometimes it's things that occurred for years and years and years. And at the same time, they also have some earnings maybe, you know, here in Florida, they also have it up there, and somebody actually did get a hold of their Social Security number, was working under their earnings, you know, under their Social Security number, and it's just amazing how often that I see that, and they had no clue, no idea whatsoever.
Absolutely, and you might have a what you think is an uncommon name, and still have somebody with a mm-hmm. similar name live in a similar area, and sometimes that overlaps into yours. It affects a lot of times individuals that are juniors, seniors, where they have family members that can actually hurt or sometimes benefit their credit because the wrong information is on their report.
Now, let me ask you this about Fairway, about mortgages. Now, would you say that somebody looking for a home, looking to buy a home, would that person, should that person come to you before they start looking for a home, as they're looking at homes, after they found the home they want to purchase?
Well, I'll take them at any time they want to
okay.
come.
Okay.
The key, though, is the first step is to actually should be pre-qualified. You should want to get qualified for your loan before seeing a realtor.
Okay.
It gives you more purchasing power. It helps you to make sure, you know, hey, I want that $1 million home, but I can only afford a $200,000 home. Mm-hmm. Or, hey, I think I only can afford $100,000. Well, actually, I qualify for a little bit more. Mm-hmm. It gives you the flexibility to go out and look for a house that you truly qualify for, so you don't fall in love with a house right. that you can't afford.
Sure.
And therefore, everything you can afford is disappointing to you.
Okay. So once an individual has found the home, they qualify, they pre-qualify, they found the home they want, at what point then, like you said, you'll get involved at any stage. But then what does that look like from you getting involved at that point to help them secure the loan, secure the mortgage?
Yeah, a lot of times what it'll do is individuals will start by either calling me directly or going to my website, gotodan.com. Mm-hmm. They start the application there. We do a pre-approval. We don't just qualify them. We actually approve them.
Okay.
We actually take the steps of asking for some documentation to document their income, document their assets. They have the ability, if they provide all the documents to where we can actually have an underwriter approve them for a loan with a to-be-determined address so that they only have to actually then worry about the appraisal of the property, it making passing the property inspection that they want, and the property making sense for them as individuals.
Right. Okay. And so let's say an individual comes to you. They've been pre-approved. Even the underwriter has signed it for a to-be-determined. And you mentioned sometimes the appraiser can come in, do an appraisal, and hopefully everything appraises properly. What happens if it doesn't? What kind of help can you give an individual in that situation?
There's a couple different ways. Okay. I've actually found it very uncommon for an appraisal not to come in on a property that's appropriately priced.
That you would expect.
Correct. Okay. You never want to overpay for a property, and that's what a property appraiser is paid for, is to give his opinion of that property's value at that particular moment in time.
Right.
It's a snapshot of time, because an appraisal from 6 months ago may not be a fair value of the property, and 6 months from now it may not. Mm-hmm. But during that period of time.
Based on the economy, based on just a lot of factors.
Correct. Okay. It could be as simple as the employment center in the area is strong or weakening.
Okay.
Price points. If it's a 3-bedroom, 2-bath in Spring Hill, it might actually appraise for more than a 3-bedroom, 2-bath in other parts of even Florida. Mm-hmm. A 2-bedroom, 1-bath, if it's unusual for the neighborhood, may not appraise as much as a 2-bedroom, 2-bath. Mm-hmm. If the property appraisal comes in low, it depends on the different type of appraisal,
okay,
as well as the loan type. If it's justified, if the appraisal is a solid appraisal and the value is accurate, mm-hmm, and it came in low, then the actual buyer has the opportunity to speak to the realtor to renegotiate the contract with the seller to come up with a compromise. Does the seller come off on price? Does the buyer, do they split it? Where do they come up with an agreement? Mm-hmm. If the appraisal is not a valid appraisal, meaning we get one of those rare appraisers that's not very good, then there's different avenues you can do to challenge, dispute, okay, or get the appraisal thrown out depending on the need for that property. It's more common for the property to appraise near or at value, mm-hmm, or for the seller and buyer to negotiate to a different price.
But in the event that that does happen, you do have the ability to then come in and correct the issue, whatever that defect may be.
Correct. We can sometimes we'll flaw an appraisal, meaning get it thrown out and use a different appraisal. Mm-hmm. That's rare. It's something that you want to do with caution, because we want to do what's right to make sure our client's not overpaying on a property. However, if it's obvious, they can't count the number of bedrooms in an appraisal.
Yeah.
Those are sometimes you'd actually. Okay, the appraisal was not necessarily competent in their evaluations,
right,
and therefore you pay for a second. We as a lender pay for the second appraisal to get an opinion on that property. If it's clear that that's an inaccurate appraisal, there are some options there.
So you go through that process. Let's say it does appraise properly, mm-hmm, and then what's the process look like beyond that?
Really,
just a matter of closing, or
yeah. Really, if I have somebody that's a to be determined appraisal, from the time they sign a contract to the time they close can be as little as 2 weeks.
Okay.
On a common basis, it can technically be quicker, but typically appraisal takes about a week to 10 days to come back. So about within 2 weeks, you make sure the seller has the right to sell the property, called title work. Mm-hmm. If they don't have the right to sell it, they can't sell it to you. Mm-hmm. The property has to appraise, and really just get a homeowner's insurance policy on it. To be determined, you could actually be in your home 2 weeks after you sign a contract.
Now, you mentioned earlier that you can, Fairway Independent can process these or serve these mortgages long-term, or they can sell them, is that what you said?
Yeah, absolutely. We are a large servicer, as well as we actually sell the loans to third parties. Mm-hmm. We have the ability to sell to some of the major banks, institutions throughout the nation. Mm-hmm. We sell directly to Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, different aspects. And there's different banks and institutions that service those loans. Mm-hmm. What that means is we either service the loan, close it in our name, keep it in our name, and we reservice where you continue to call us after closing. Or after closing, we may sell it to a third party to service a loan. It does not change the interest rate, the terms of the loan. It just changes who they call and where they make the payment to, mm-hmm, which we make sure that they have not just a letter explaining what their new loan number, who the new servicer is, but their phone number, as well as we retain records to where help we can help clients actually connect with that individuals in the event we do sell a loan. Mm-hmm. I still help clients that I've worked with from 3-4 lenders back from 2003 with questions just to have the unique questions they might have answered correctly. Because sometimes what I call, we in the industry sometimes call speak mortgagees. Mm-hmm. It's our own little language because we talk mortgage all the time. And sometimes understanding that and helping a client clarify that in true English it is helpful for everybody involved.
Now, I'm just curious, back to you've been doing this for a long time. During the, I guess, the mid-2000s, the big crash in the housing market just plummeted.
Absolutely.
What kind of impact did that have on the mortgage industry?
Well, I actually think it had some good impacts in regards to it got rid of a lot of realtors that shouldn't have been in the business, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, a couple of the good ones that couldn't survive it as well. We had some good attrition in regards to those mortgage professionals that shouldn't be in the industry. There are also individuals who are good that got caught up in that, mm-hmm. That also are no longer in the industry. But on the underwriting side, it goes back to more of a make sense underwriting. Can a person afford a house? Should they be there? Mm-hmm. You know, you have to do more than fog a mirror now. Mm-hmm. You actually have to verify that you have income, verify you have assets, down payment. For the most part, it's more of a, does this client qualify? Does it make sense? And will they be able to stay in the home? And I think that's really comes back to what I've always done is try to help individuals not only buy a house, but actually live in it. Because if they love Starbucks or if they love pizza, if they're in their home and they can't get a pizza once a month or Starbucks every once in a while, it can frustrate them to where they don't feel like they're truly living in their home, mm-hmm. but they're trapped. Helping them to understand how to budget it can be a big thing. And by the guidelines adjusting based on the real estate market adjustment, I think has really strengthened the overall real estate industry at this point.
Yeah. And then just want to talk about a little the B&I. So you've been in B&I for a long time.
Yes, I have.
About 10 years?
About 4 or 5 years total.
So 4 or 5 years, and how did you get involved initially with B&I?
Yeah, one of my good friends, a business partner I worked with at a bank, invited me to go. I went. When I had the opportunity to actually meet and see other like-minded professionals who were trying to grow their business, it intrigued me. And I saw a lot of good people who wanted to do right for their clients, and so therefore I joined.
Okay. And how has that impacted your business through the years? Obviously, you were recruited, last year by Fairway, but even prior to that, how has that impacted your business?
Well, I think one of the biggest benefits from B&I is not just financial; it's the additional friendships, the additional networks, the additional experts you have in the various fields that you may not know otherwise. I've not always had the opportunity to know somebody who pressure washes or does exterior paint or. You know, sometimes some chiropractors, I may not have always the experience. And having the opportunity to talk to those individuals and be able to have a trusted source for my clients, the individuals that have entrusted me with helping them get a mortgage, if they ask me for somebody, I can actually refer them to somebody that I not just know, but I like them and trust them.
Right.
And that's a true benefit of B&I.
Yeah, that's one of the things I've liked about B&I the most is building relationships, building the friendships, but also having that opportunity to know individuals, experts in their own field, where I get an opportunity regularly, weekly, to sit down with these individuals and learn something that I had no idea about prior to, whether it be mortgages or real estate or, fill in the blank, whatever it may be. I really enjoyed that aspect, more so than I think I even thought I would, going in, aside from all the other benefits of B&I. Has B&I helped you in any ways that you couldn't have imagined when you started? You mentioned the friendships and things. Is there any other ways that maybe you didn't see as a benefit that you've clearly seen take place over the years?
Well, I think yes, absolutely. It's definitely helped me in several ways. Financially, it helped in regards to providing a stable professionals to actually refer clients to. Mm-hmm. And I find that if you truly help others and do what's right, whether it's in B&I or in life in general, if you do what's right, you'll be blessed for doing what's right.
Now, let me just ask you a question, because I think that's a point that sometimes is lost a little bit. Is the benefit that you have in your profession to be able to have these group of professionals that you can refer out to, because you're actually helping your clients in a way that, that maybe you weren't able to before because you didn't have this contact sphere of professionals out there. And that's another thing, I'm glad you mentioned that, that I've seen. I've been able to help my clients in ways that I wasn't able to prior to joining BNI. And that, like I said, I think that's overlooked sometimes in the benefits of BNI.
Absolutely. And the aspect that is not just being able to refer to somebody in the industry, but mm-hmm. somebody you trust.
Yes, correct.
And who has accountability to you.
Yeah, for sure.
Because they're going to see you next week.
Right.
How'd you do with my friend?
Yeah.
And, you know, you can sometimes be where you may not refer it to somebody in the past where you wouldn't have accountability. You may not refer to that individual and your reputation was hurt. Mm-hmm. With BNI, having that accountability helps make sure all referrals are actually treated at the level of service that you want, mm-hmm. or at least close to.
And as we talk about, we had this little back to the basics segment. What we wanted to talk about a little bit today was the building of relationships, the friendships that we're able to have with one another, with the folks in there. But even beyond that as well, you know, through BNI, you may have older folks who were used to be in the chapter. You're gonna have new folks that come in, you know, over time. So talk a little bit about that and how that has how that's benefited you.
Yeah, some of my best friends, not only in my industry but outside of my industry, I've met through BNI. Mm-hmm. One of my friends that I met when I joined BNI, I don't know, 10 years ago, mm-hmm. before I had to take a break because my kids were four different schools for
okay.
four different kids.
Right.
But when we actually had the opportunity, we ran into a networking event. We talked. We do golf periodically. We actually talk about different services, different charities that we do. But true friendship in mm-hmm. regards to that. And those individuals have helped friends of mine get jobs, mm-hmm. whereas I've been able to refer to them, good people, to help my friends get jobs with those individuals, or vice versa, mm-hmm. where I've helped place homes. Not only just place them in homes to get finance, but also careers, individuals who can give career advice, what not to go into and why, mm-hmm. where you may have opportunities to refer individuals professionally as well as meaning clientele, but also the friendships that can give you trusted advice. Well, I know one of the things that when I look back and one of the individual who recruited me to BNI, what they have done that stuck out to me was they made sure I understood the importance of building a relationship based on trust and sincerity. As long as you build a relationship of trust, people you know, And you're honest with them. Don't give them the answer they want. Give them the answer they need to hear. If you're truthful, trustworthy, and sincere in your efforts with individuals, you'll always succeed. And that's advice that I'm grateful for. It's something that my grandparents taught, but also reinforced through Keith when he introduced me okay. to BNI.
Yeah, so that was one of the things I was going to ask is some folks look at BNI and the model that BNI has, see it as very rigid. You know, you have all these rules and think it's a little bit too much, kind of almost suffocating for some folks. However, the benefit of having such a structured a group who is held accountable week in and week mm-hmm. out is that you know you're going to see these individuals every week. You're going to be doing these one-to-ones with them regularly. And, they're referring to you, you're referring to them. And you mentioned the trust and the sincerity. That only grows through spending time with one another, right? And there's no other way to build that.
Correct.
Legitimately. Is through time. I guess we have this VCP process, right, that we talk about. Visibility, credibility leads to eventually profitability. But if you're not looking, if you're not seeing each other regularly, that's never going to take place.
Well, it's not just about seeing each other. Are you doing the little things to improve yourself?
Right,
are you doing
right.
the little things to improve yourself in your career? Mm-hmm. If you're not doing the little things to improve yourself in BNI, how am I supposed to know whether you're going to do the little things in your career
right.
to actually do this? And doing those little steps, educating yourself on how to be a better person in your industry and networking or whatever, taking your time to improve yourself matters. Having the one-to-ones to actually talk to individuals and have that accountability, to see them, the referrals. Different aspects of that can be beneficial, and rigid is actually a fair assessment, but it's also, I would like to use the word accountable. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, people on a football team or a baseball team, they have rules. If they don't practice, they don't play. I think about BNI as if you're there, if you can't win if you don't show up.
Yeah. Yep. No, I agree with you 100%. Now, who are the clients that we can refer to you? Or if someone's listening to this, who is the type of person that you can help the most? What are we looking for?
Well, the ideal client is somebody with credit scores in the mid to upper 600s, looking to buy a primary residence, whether it's FHA, VA, or even using down payment assistance. That's one of my ideal clients. I can help individuals with credit scores above 580, and I can do a loans up to about $5 million based on the loan product. But my ideal client is really the first-time home buyer, those who are stepping up to their second home, that have hopefully in the mid to high 600s or 700 credit scores.
Now, with the first-time home buyer, can you define that?
Yeah, first-time home buyer is somebody that has not owned a home in the last 3 years.
Okay, so it's not necessarily the first time they've ever purchased a home.
Correct. Okay. They could have purchased a home, had a bad experience, good experience, and just repairing their benefits. Or, hey, I bought a home, I sold it 3 years ago, and I moved to a different area and got a new job. Mm-hmm. There's different ways to actually be a first-time home buyer.
Okay. And you said, or looking for a second home. That's another good referral, or someone that you can help, or that you do help quite a bit.
Absolutely. Right. Being here in Florida, where it's just in the upper 70s here in February, I'm sure we have a few people that come down here for vacation.
Yeah.
Not all the time.
Yeah.
And we love helping individuals do vacation homes or even investment properties where they want to buy a home and have rental income and invest in that to help their financial well-being to improve long-term.
Now, how is it that a potential client could get a hold of you? What's the best way to get in touch with Dan?
There's a couple different ways to do it. The easiest way for most individuals is actually my website. It's gototodan.com, gotodan.com.
Okay.
And right there, they can actually start and do the application. They can also send me an email, which is gotodan@fairwaymc.com. And just to let you know, it's Fairway and then MC like Marine Corps.
Okay. Okay. Very good. And when is the best time for anyone to contact? I guess if it's online, it could be any time of the day, right?
Doesn't matter. The wonderful thing about online is 24 hours a day that they can actually do it. Once they've actually done that, I will give them my cell phone number and actually help them out as individuals, whether it's me or my team that'll do it. I don't work 24 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
I do have a system that helps me to make sure that all of them are helped 24 hours a day, though.
And like you said, family is important. And if you're not making sure that you're setting a time for your family, setting that aside, the business certainly can, if we're not careful, that can run in and take over some of that family time. And
right.
Like you said, that's very important to you, as certainly it should be. All right. So again, I appreciate you coming in and doing this. Let's end with rapid fire real quick. Okay.
Okay, sounds good.
All right. What's the best book that could be business, networking, or otherwise that you've ever read?
Outside of scripture, the best book I've read is Seven Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey. One of the aspects that talks about you can't control you can't control other people's actions, but you can control your reaction, mm-hmm. The accountability of that, and how to be a better person.
Okay. And what is the most, in your opinion, you've been networking for quite some time now, what is the most important networking trait, in your opinion?
Sincerity.
Okay.
If you're honest and sincere and know who you are and tell people what they need to hear, mm-hmm. and not just what they want to hear,
yeah.
You're sincere in your answers, you'll always do well.
Now, would you say there's something that you've learned over the years of doing the networking that maybe you wish you had known sooner in your networking career?
Yes. One of the things is just because you hand out a business card doesn't mean you're going to get business.
Okay.
Making sure you ask what people need and identifying how you can help them is the first step that you can do. By identifying how you can help somebody, you ensure you actually do help them.
And how about just business in general? What is something that maybe you've learned over the years, just in business, that maybe you wish you had known sooner? Is there something else? I mean, obviously, what you just mentioned is good advice, but is there anything else that you'd like?
I think the biggest thing is if you don't know something, admit it.
Okay, that's good.
And then look it up.
So it's okay not to know everything.
Yeah, it's okay.
In fact, it's impossible to know everything.
It's impossible to know everything. And the rules change all the time. And so staying educated on your field and how to actually have that knowledge relayed to individuals to make sure.
And I think it's neat how what you just mentioned, goes back to what you said. The most important networking trait is be sincere, be honest, right? So if you don't Absolutely. Know something, simply admit to that fact.
Yeah.
I don't know it, but I can find out for you.
Absolutely.
And then finally, what is the most profound piece of advice that you would like to share with anyone that might be listening?
Try to see the people that you work with and you deal with as always striving to do their best and don't always think that they are at their best. Because if you realize that people don't have to be perfect, but they're striving to be, mm-hmm. you can realize there's a lot of good in a lot of people that right now are going through a hard time.
So give individuals the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't assume the worst, but instead assume the best.
Correct.
That's very good. No, I like that. I think that would be very helpful. And I think it actually has the power to be transformative if everybody were to take that into account on a daily basis. Well, Dan, thank you so much for taking the time to do this episode of the Winning Edge podcast.
Thank you. I truly appreciate you being allowed to be here.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Winning Edge podcast. Please be sure to check out the show notes for contact information for each of our guests, links to their websites, and links to more information about the topics discussed in this episode. Until next week, happy networking!